So every Sunday, the Sunday after Easter, every year on this Sunday, we read this story. We read a lot of stories in the Bible. We read them only on a three-year basis. We don't hear them every year. This story we hear every year on the Sunday after Easter. It's interesting to me because it always we were reflecting on this as a worship task group that Easter is such a big celebration, such a declaration, and this passage has a kind of yeah but quality to it, and it's almost like it acknowledges that the thing we celebrated last week is hard to believe, and so. We make a commitment as a community, as a Christian church, to every year acknowledge that this question, although it elicits our joyful response, it also evokes questions. And that's part of what it means to be in a Christian community, is to every year, I mean, for some of us, every Sunday, get reminded that the story has questions behind it. There's questions in the mix here. The thing that's always fascinated me about the story of Doubting Thomas is not that Thomas doubted the resurrection. This seems to me completely logical. The resurrection of Jesus is a improbable event, right? It's not something that happens every day. So if you weren't there to see it, the most logical thing to do would be to question whether it actually happened. You know, to question whether there was some wish fulfillment going on behalf of on the part of all of your friends there. Or just, I mean, it just seems like a normal human response to say, really? Really? Really, guys? That really happened? That does not seem surprising. What seems surprising to me about Thomas is that he stayed in that community. It says he was there for a week before Jesus came back and appeared to him and appeared to the whole community again. And I often wonder what that week was like. What was that like for him? I mean, remember, everybody else in the community is 100% convinced that something truly amazing and awesome has happened. And it's very exciting to them, right? I mean, I would hope it was very exciting to them. And there's one person in the room who can't get on board with the excitement of the rest of the community. Can you imagine what that was like? Awkward, I would think, right? What was it like for Thomas? What was it like for the community to have the one guy who wasn't on board right there in the room? It makes me wonder why he stayed. And that makes me wonder why the rest of the people let him stay. I mean, that may sound harsh, but can you imagine in that situation, wouldn't it be best just to encourage the killjoy? You know, like, just encourage the one person who can't get with the program, encourage him to, like, move on, you know? Come back when you're sure. You know, because we all got it. Come back when you're with the program. Why did he stay? And why did they let him stay? Anybody have any theories? Yeah, Wendy?
Jesus would have
never
done that.
Okay, so Wendy says they were disciples of Jesus, and they saw how he dealt with people who did not follow the doctrine or the orthodoxy of the day. Or doubted him. Good point. And so they said, okay, what would have Jesus done in this situation? He would have welcomed Thomas to stay, so we're going to do it. That's interesting. Anybody else? Why do you think? Yeah, Jack. Yeah. Okay, so Jack says at the heart of that is the sense of care, mutual care. Right, that they'd been together, I mean, whatever, for a year, 3 years, some period of time traveling together, and they'd just been through a traumatic experience together. And so they were bonded. They cared for each other, and that included caring for him even though he wasn't on board with the rest of what was going on. And Thomas caring for them, yeah. Right? Thomas caring enough that he was going to stick around. Yeah. What do you think?
Maybe they were just scared.
Yeah. Okay. So Rob points out that there's this phrase that they're in the room, the doors are locked because of the Jews. We've got to be careful with this language that John uses, but this is, of course, everybody in the story is Jewish, right? Disciples, Jesus, and the people they're afraid of are all Jewish, but this is referring to the fact that there's some, I mean, the leader of their movement has just been killed. I mean, there's certainly opposition to those who follow Jesus, and so they're just plain old scared. And so there's nothing like a common enemy to bring people together, right? Like, we may not agree, but at least we all don't like the Romans or are scared of the Romans, right? Yeah, all right. So there could be a lot of reasons why they stay there. But the interesting thing to me about this story is that the community actually benefits from that, because Jesus comes back a second time. And he doesn't come back just to Thomas. Everybody gets to see Jesus again. So there's a way in which everyone is blessed. Everyone is rewarded by having a doubter in their mix. There's some way in which this experience of including, accommodating, welcoming, and caring for the one who questions ends up blessing the community as a whole. Now, here's the thing. We often at KC talk about how important doubt is as part of a personal spiritual journey. And that's a story that many of us share. In other words, if you're in a community where you cannot ask questions, if you can't entertain doubt, there's a way in which that can stunt your spiritual growth, because there's something that can't be said. You know, there's something that can't be explored. And so that has a kind of sort of blocking quality to our growth. And many of us have shared this experience that by questioning, by doubting, by just plain old saying that we don't believe something, there's a way in which that has led us deeper into the experience of faith, into a deeper encounter with God. Because sometimes saying what we don't believe, we have that, sometimes say that prayer, by forgetting the God we don't believe in, we can meet the God who believes in us. You know, the doubt kind of has a personal growth benefit for us. But here's what this story suggests to me, is that doubt isn't just good for the individual on a spiritual journey. That doubt is a form of community service. Right? That there's some way in which this whole community has benefited from having somebody in the mix who raises an uncomfortable question. Now, we all know that there's a kind of doubt in community that's not community service, so let's not make it into a sweeping comment. There are the kind of questions that imply, you know, all of you people here are idiots, and I don't know why anybody stays. You know, that kind of question. That's not really a very helpful question, one that sort of, you know, separates the individual from the rest of the community. But there are questions that when an individual asks those questions, the whole community benefits. What are the qualities of that kind of question? I don't know, that's maybe something we can discuss in a minute, but for me, it seems like Thomas is a little bit of a guide here. You know how we often talk in communication classes about how important it is to make an I statement? You know, you're not supposed to say you're an idiot. You're supposed to say, I think you're an idiot. No, that's not true. That's always the joke that my husband and I use. But anyway, you're supposed to use an I statement. You're supposed to, when you're talking, you're supposed to stay rooted in your own experience, right? You're supposed to stay grounded in your experience and not get so distant from your own experience that you're out there talking about other people without connecting it to yourself. I think the same goes true for questions, doesn't it? I mean, see Thomas's question. I need, I I have not had the experience you people had. And because of that, I need to have this kind of experience. You know, I have this question, and so I have this need. He stays rooted in his own story. And the question arises out of that story, not out of a judgment of other people. Notice his question is not, how can you people be so gullible? Right? His question is, I need to see Jesus firsthand. I need to touch him. Stays there. And out of that experience, he's making, in some ways, an assertion that his experience is valid within the life of that community. And they honor that and are blessed by it. So we had this thought that today, on this Sunday after Easter, we should not just talk about Thomas. We should engage in Thomas's work. We should do what that community did. And we should consider what questions are on our minds and hearts that are questions that we as a community need to ask, that we need to consider. So I'm not just asking you, what do you doubt and what can't you believe? Those are important questions for your development and your journey. But are those some of those questions ones that need to be asked within the context of this community as a whole? And for that matter, are there questions that we as a community don't ask? That in some ways we're afraid to ask? Is there some sort of thing that we're all on the bandwagon about? Stay rooted in your experience. Don't let these questions arise out of your opinions or judgments about other people. But where are you at right now with your life, with your faith? And is there a question at the heart of that? Is there a question that speaks to where you are, that arises out of you where you are? What would it mean to ask that question together? What would it mean to offer that question to this community as an act of community service?